Did Nate Oates take a shot at Janai Broome? We get a little bit of insight into actual Janai Broome's injury, and I don't think we're talking enough about Devin Carter.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast, live edition, just like we do every Sunday night at 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. It's Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we're ready to kick this thing off. I got my man, Daryl Dapperich. Zach's going to join us, hopefully, in just a little bit. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. I personally think Nate Oates lobbed a little shot at Janai Broome. We're going to break that down, see what everybody else says. We find out a little bit about Janai Broome's injury, and we'll dive into that. And then, Dap, I don't think we're talking enough about Devin Carter. This thing with Devin Carter, this is the huge commitment. His ranking is incredible, and it's a really big kickstart to this 2026 class. We're going to dive into that in just a second. But before we get started, you guys, if you want to hang, it's fun to hang out with us on Sunday nights. But if you want to hang out with us every day, you need to go to thebarnauburn.com. $25 off for 2025. You can get an annual membership for only $75. So go to thebarnauburn.com. That's where you'll catch Dap with his Dap recaps for
Dap
The Dap recap after just about every single game, and then just randomly when some stuff comes to his head, he's dropping knowledge in there. Zach's got a lot of team knowledge, and then I try to not screw things up too bad with the recruiting stuff. So we have a lot of fun. Just check us out, thebarnauburn.com. Dap. Okay, I see people already asking, what did he say? Nate Oates had a little bit of he had a comment after the game, their game against, I guess they played Texas A&M. Cliff Omuri, I don't know how to say his name. I think that was close enough. Injured his ankle, rolled his ankle, very similar to Janai Broome, and then came back in the game. Okay, and then after, obviously Alabama wins, and afterwards, I think during the press conference, he's asked about that in that particular event. And this was what he said. He said, I'll say a lot about Cliff, man. A lot of guys would have sat that one out after hurting their ankle, but he wanted to be out there and play with his guys. I kind of feel like maybe he was taking a little shot because obviously they played several hours after Auburn. And so obviously he would have known that happened, I would imagine. So I don't know. I kind of feel like it was a shot. What's your take on it?
So first of all, to set the stage, there were some people defending that right away, saying no way in the heat of Nato's worrying about his game and all that, and him focusing. Let's be honest. Auburn's game ended at 2 o'clock. Alabama tipped off at 6. So to further bolster your point, there was plenty of time. And anytime the national player of the year goes down with an ankle injury, you know. And if you are the rival coach of, you're the head coach of the rivals team, you know. So as much as I don't like Nate Oates, and I don't care that I don't like Nate Oates, I don't have to like Nate Oates. There are plenty of Alabama fans for years that said nasty, horrible things about Bruce Pearl. I don't care. I'm going to sleep 8 hours tonight. I don't care that people would be upset that I don't like their head basketball coach. His demeanor on the court, some of the things he does, the way he acts with his technical fouls, what he's done with other teams, opposing players, getting in the huddle, and his demonstrative get the bleep out of here stuff against LSU. And he has said things in the past that has been subtle shots at Auburn. I don't like his demeanor. I don't like him. I don't have to. I think he's done enough. In this case, though, in this scenario, as much as I would like to say because of his track record, I don't believe it was. I believe he solely was focusing on Cliff Omuri and his injury in the vacuum of that game, and here's why. Number one, as much as we feel like Nate Oates has done some crappy things, has no filter, and people have a strong opinion about his character, I don't see him taking a shot at a kid that gets hurt. I think that goes way beyond the debaggery that could be for him. Okay. I don't think that he would even stoop to that level. Second of all, there's Zach. Second of all, I think that he would have to be smart enough to know, because the game started so late, that the severity of Broome's injury was nothing like Omori's injury. Thereby, you're comparing apples and oranges, making that comment irrelevant and not really something that would matter. I think it's a big difference between the severity of the injuries, and I think he would know as much. So for those reasons, I don't think that it was necessarily a shot at Jahni Broome. And he'd have to be stupid to do that, in my opinion.
Zach.
Are we talking about Nate Oates?
Nate Oates. We're talking about the comments.
Do you have the quote handy? Can you read it again?
Yeah, I'll read it one more time. I'll say a lot about Cliff, man. A lot of guys would have sat that one out after hurting their ankle. He wanted to be out there and play with his guys. A lot of guys would have sat that one out, but Cliff didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I guess there's two sides of it. One is like, and they're both worst case. One worst case is he did take a shot at Jahni. The other worst case is the dude is tone deaf, and he's shown a history of that. I mean, the way he handled the whole Brandon Miller stuff when that was going on, like, let's don't act like this guy. Because I saw some people say, like, oh, well, he's intentional with everything. I'm like, I don't know. Because, like, the way he handled the Brandon Miller stuff is like, I don't think he thinks a lot of things through. So it's either he did it on purpose, or I think he's just tone deaf to the situation.
That's a great point, that he is so oblivious to things and handled stuff so wrong in that Brandon Miller thing and said things that people like scratched their head and said, do you have no self-awareness at all? That could be another example of this, that he just doesn't comprehend what it could look like, the self-awareness part.
I mean, the wrong place, wrong time thing is like an iconic way of like how to not handle something.
Yeah, so what you're saying is worst case, it was intentional, and best case, he's just dumb, is what you're saying.
You said it. Saying. You said it, not me.
No, I didn't say it.
I think I said tone deaf.
Okay, same thing. Whatever. Same thing. I personally think it was a shot, and let me tell you why. I'm going to give you several quotes. I'm going to give you several quotes where Nate has taken shots, and it's fine. It's fine. It's part of it, but it just I think it was a shot. Here's the A. Y'all shot better with that. Auburn shot better with the lights off last year when they couldn't pay their power bill. Remember, or it's either last year or the year before or last.
That was insane.
Where they couldn't pay their power bill in that broke, you know what, arena, and the lights went out within the first 45 seconds of the game. And they said something about, he said something about Auburn shooting better with the lights off in 2023, talking about how playing Alabama was our Super Bowl. That's all that's their Super Bowl. Taking a shot at the size of the arena. It's easy to sell out that arena. It's only 8,000 seats, something to that tune. And then with Aiden Holloway, we thought he could be more like this out of high school. And that's what he was tonight, you know, saying, oh, even though he played at Auburn and he didn't sort of live up to expectations, we thought he could be that way out of high school. We can develop. And there was a big there was obviously a big article about that as well. I think if he's your coach, you love it. He's fearless. He's going to say whatever he wants to say. He's going to take shots. He's going to do whatever he's got to do. I think it was calculated. The fact that, look, let me ask you this. Is there any chance he didn't know the outcome of that game?
No, he knew the outcome of that game. I will say this. There's a common thread with every quote you just – and I hate that I'm sitting here having to defend Nate Oates, because that's the last thing. I just want to be very, very – well, I'm trying to be
– nobody's making you defend Nate Oates.
This is your decision.
I want there to be transparency in why I'm saying this. I think every quote that you had was a common denominator or a common thread where he's taking a shot at the Auburn program. If he decided to cross that threshold and take a shot at an individual kid that got hurt, then he absolutely crossed the line there and needs to pay a price for it. See, I think there's a difference between taking a shot at a program or even another person's head coach as opposed to taking a shot at a student athlete and making it personal. I think there's a difference there.
Zach, anything to add to that?
No.
I'm with you. I mean, what should the punishment be, Dap?
Oh, well, if it, you'll never be able to prove it. I mean, you'll never be able to prove that he was taking a personal shot at Broome. But if he did take a personal shot at Broome, then there needs to be a conversation between Bruce Pearl and Nate Oates that's less than comfortable and less than friendly.
I don't think they have very friendly conversations.
I don't either. But I think that's
each other too much.
And I think that's something where the league office could step in and say, look, that's a little bit over the line. I think there's ways to get around that to where you make sure that you get somebody's attention for saying something like that.
What a great opportunity for Chaney, though. I'm so pumped for Chaney. I'm so stoked for him. I hate that this is like the opportunity, like why he's getting the opportunity, but I can't wait to see what he's able to do in like a larger role.
And we'll shift gears to that. So we'll get out of talking about Nate Oates and talk about life without Janai for an extended period of time. It did come out today that he does not have to have surgery. There was no break. There was no tear. And he was in an air cast, which somebody made a really good point was if you're in an air cast, that means you should be able to walk on it a little bit. So I think that's a good sign. Zach, you got your hand raised.
Yeah. I'd like to ask y'all a question if you don't mind.
Yeah. Ask it.
Is that okay? Live chat. I want you to answer this too. We all make the jokes of like Janai Broome, you can have Janai Broome, you can have my ankle, right? We all make that joke. Let's assume you could give up use of your ankle for a certain amount of time for Janai's ankle to be back and ready to go. What length of time would you go up to say, okay, Janai Broome, your ankle's not hurt anymore, but I have to sacrifice my ankle for 6 months. What's that length of time?
Is it like on crutches ankle?
On crutches, you can't put weight on it.
I mean, however long he needs. I would sacrifice my ankle.
A year? Would you sacrifice an ankle for a year?
No. I mean, we're talking about a basketball season. It's going to be cold, so I can't play golf anyway. I'm not going to play golf that much anyway until after March Madness. So I would say I would give up my ankle through basketball season if I had to.
I think I would too.
Yeah, I would too.
Okay, I would want one of those scooters. I would get a. Let's ask that. What is your preferred method of transportation? Wheelchair, crutches? What do you do?
I would borrow TJ Finley's scooter. No, look. Here's the deal with me. I could go longer than you guys because of my age. People would even look twice. They'd go look at that old dude on crutches, and they would just it wouldn't even faze them. It would be just a natural habitat. So I could go a little longer than the basketball season. I'd be willing to wear that because it wouldn't be such a shock for people to see me on crutches.
So selfless of you. Thank you for your service, Dap.
It's 2025. I told you it's a kinder, gentler Dap.
Zach, what's your method of transportation with a broken ankle?
I've done crutches before.
Not fun.
It was fine. 6 months will be a lot. I knew I had like a short ending. Like I knew it was like a 2 week thing. So,
you know, do any of you guys have a house with stairs?
Yes.
You've literally been to my house.
I was trying to throw that out as a kind of a rhetorical question, but thanks for rooting the axe, Zach. But anyway, thanks. So
yes, Daryl. Yes.
Okay. What I would like to see is that little mobile chair that goes up the chair rail that goes. Yes. That would be sweet.
Those things are like $40,000.
They're very expensive.
Why are they so expensive?
Well, I mean, think about it.
It's a motorized elevator,
Exactly. It's like having an elevator in your house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey,
speaking of stairs, this is just completely off the rails right now. I fell down my stairs yesterday.
How many stairs are we talking?
A good 8 to 10 stairs.
Wow. Did you slip and slide?
Well, I was going, I know this is going to sound terrible. I was taking boxes down. I was by myself and I had this really long box. So I was like dragging it down the stairs backwards and I slipped and I fell forward and hit and rolled the rest of the way. It feels like I got hit by a car. I feel like I've been in a car.
Oh, you're going to be sore, man.
Did your wife see you fall?
Oh, yeah. It was terrible. It was very dramatic. Kids were crying.
I saw you at church this morning. I thought you were limping a little bit, but I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah. Left side.
I thought it was just your swag, but
left side was a little bit sore. I laid there for a little bit just to, because I was afraid to move. But stairs are dangerous. I have two kids, and they were young children when we moved into this house. I'm the only person that's ever fell down the stairs. Me.
My oldest has fallen down the stairs for sure.
I fell down from the attic stairs. I slipped off the top attic stair and fell backwards into the hall about 6 feet and fell on my back and thought I died. And all my wife did was laugh. My daughter had to help me because my wife was laughing so hard. And I thought I was in an automobile accident. I was so sore.
It was awful.
Yeah. It fell from the attic.
That's a lot. That's dramatic. That's much more dramatic than mine. All right, life without Janai. Let's get back on track. Yeah, life without Janai. I think best case scenario would be like 5 or 6 games. I would not expect him to be playing at least until February, which is 4 games from now. So, what does life without Janai look like? Unfortunately, you're about to reel off 5 quad one games in a row. You're about to play 5 in a row. What does that look like?
Well, I mean, like we just mentioned, I think it's a better opportunity for Chaney. Like, let's see what Chaney looks like in a larger role. I think that's certainly going to be part of it. I'm worried about Dylan, like, not fouling people. Like, Dylan's going to have to change his approach. You can do that when you're playing, you know, the amount of minutes he's been playing. But when you're going to play more, presumably, like, he has to change how he's playing. And so I think that might impact confidence and some things like that. And then also, you know, does Bruce Pearl dial up more stuff for, you know, guys on the perimeter like Dahad and Miles and Denver, who, when they're all given volume, so far this season, they've all kind of stepped up. So, fortunately, the depth allows you to have options, but the style of offense that they're playing, like, they can't do. Like, I don't think Chaney can handle, like, I don't know if you run the offense through Chaney. I don't know if you run the offense through Dylan like you do with Janai, but they've got some time to prepare for Mississippi State. And you got to assume they kind of went over some of this when they were prepping for Purdue earlier this year, when it was questionable if Janai was going to play with that shoulder or not. So, I think they've got options.
How do you feel about it? What do you think Auburn needs to do to be able to survive these next 5 games?
Well, ironically, the best take I heard on it was Damian Fishback, former Auburn basketball player, that said, what you'll see is what Auburn's run for the last 3 or 4 years. Auburn's actually running a different offensive set right now with 2 bigs on the floor with Cardwell and Broom. What they normally run is what's called a 4-out, 1 big, 4 perimeter guys. Fishback and others think Auburn will go back to that, which is the style they've played in years past under Pearl, with Cardwell being the 1 big and then 4 perimeter guys doing their thing. So it's kind of unique that they'll go back to something they're probably more familiar with running, as opposed to having 2 bigs on the floor and changing it up a little bit this year, which they've done. I think that Zach makes a great point that Chaney Johnson and Dylan Cardwell are going to have to – you hate to do this halfway through the season, but they're going to have to change the way they play. You cannot afford to have both of them have 3 fouls before people stand up to go get popcorn and a drink. You can't. They have to change that a little bit. So, you know,
stadium who else popcorn, though, is so good.
Exactly. And so who else gets more minutes? Does Hudson get more minutes? Does Chad Baker-Mazzara slide down and play more of a 4 at 6-7? I don't know. But you're going to see a 4 out in the kind of offense, and Cardwell's going to have to stay on the floor longer. And same with Chaney, because they both get in too much foul trouble early on.
Depth is scary, but I agree. If you had to pick a year where you had to go guard heavy, be a guard centric offense, this is a really good year.
Unless the caveat is like they have space and are able to operate because Janai's presence has been so much. We just don't know. We don't know what that looks like.
But hey, if you got to get into a shooting battle, I like. If you got to hit threes to spread stuff out, I like this. I like this team shooting right now. Miles Kelly, Hopefully Miles gets a lot more minutes. And, you know, he's continuing as he's getting healthy. He's getting better and showing how much more of a weapon he actually is. I'm obviously nervous because, I mean, Janiah, you're talking 20-plus points a game and 10 rebounds a game. Like, how are you going to replace that production? It's definitely going to be tough. I feel like you go feeling like you could probably go 4-1 at best over this streak, over these next five games. You know, you're probably looking at 4-1 at worst over these next four games. And now what are you hoping for?
You're at 4-1.
Exactly. Now what are you hoping for over these next five games? 3-2, 2-3. I think you got a couple of home games in there.
I would take 3-2 in a heartbeat now.
Yeah. I think if you take 3-2 and you're happy. You got three away games and two home games, with one home game being Tennessee and Mississippi.
Yeah, and on paper, the road games look easier, but I mean, we've seen how Auburn's played on the road so far in conference play. So, like, I don't know if we should feel confident at that or not. I hate that the first game without Janiah is Mississippi State. I hate it because, that's going to be an important game when it comes to seeding and potential SEC regular season championships and all of that. So, this is an important game coming up, and I hate it's the first one without Janiah. And Mississippi State's a team that's going to come out and they'll punch you in the mouth. Like, they're physical always team. Physical. Yeah. They're
always physical. It depends
on the night on if we like that or not.
Yeah, between them and South Carolina, I feel like those are fist fights every time we play.
That's another
good one.
Yeah.
What do you say to the people that say, like, what do you think about this take? I've heard this a lot too. This will benefit Auburn when it comes to tournament time, getting these guys more minutes. Getting these big guys more minutes. What do you think about that take? I hear that a lot as far as it possibly being a blessing in disguise.
Well, I think it will, at the end of the day, benefit Auburn come tournament time, that some guys have more confidence, have more minutes. But I never can consider anything like this a blessing in disguise when you lose potentially the National Player of the Year for five games. I mean, you know, is it a blessing in disguise that you go from being a potential number one overall seed and the favorite to win the conference to not now? You know, that so you have to look at what your expectations are, your directives are. If nobody cares about the regular season in the SEC, or you don't care about potentially being a number one seed, and you're like, look, as long as Auburn's playing its best basketball going to the NCAA tournament, then this could be. But some of these other goals that you've set for yourself is going to be very difficult to get if he's out for an extended period of time. Now, the five-game thing is very interesting that you chose to use that as the indicator, because that's kind of what everybody – and no one's a doctor, but the projection could be 2.5 weeks, which would be five games. Auburn could still win the league going 3-2 in these next five games without Broome if they come back and play, because I think it's going to, a five-loss team is going to probably win the SEC anyway. Four or five loss team. So, yeah, I mean, it depends on what your immediate goals are. But I think there two things can be true at once. You can benefit from this because some other guys are going to get more experience and get more minutes. But it's not a blessing in disguise if you lose the best player in college basketball for five games.
Zach, what do you think about that take? Is that just wish casting or like hope casting?
Yeah, seems a little hopium action.
Yeah.
I mean, agree. I get the argument. I don't know if I agree with it. I don't know if it matters, but I get the argument. Sure.
Yeah. Everything Dap just said was where I would be. Like, you're going from a number one overall seed potentially to what are you without Broome? 4 or 5, maybe at best.
I think you might be a little
4 or 5-ish seed.
Well, I've seen some metrics from other, you know, analytics that said that without Broome, Auburn's still a top 10 basketball team, which is very much a compliment for the depth. So let's just say,
how do you know that though?
I get it. How do you know a lot of things? It's all speculative. But I'm just saying, let's say Auburn, for the sake of argument, all three of us could agree without Broome that Auburn's still a top 15 basketball team in the country. Is that pie in the sky? Is that unrealistic to say?
I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. So even if they're a top 20 team, I think the lowest you get is a 4 seed in that scenario. But who knows? I mean, I think by the time Broome gets, first of all, we're not talking about Broome coming back potentially in March. I think worst case scenario is February. You'd still have a whole month and a week to finish out the regular season to do some damage.
Yeah, I agree. What do y'all think about the AP poll tomorrow before we switch to Devin Carter? AP poll, do you think we get jumped?
I want Duke to hop us.
That, what do you think? I got
it ain't happening.
You don't think
it ain't happening. I look at the fact that Duke has to hop Iowa State too, which is a team that Auburn beat. If you look at the KenPom ratings, even as of tonight, Auburn has retained the number one position in KenPom. I think it's just a natural slotting of them saying, look, this may be temporary, but Auburn to this point has done what they needed to do. You can't future cast. You can't project if Auburn's going to lose a game without Broome. You rate them tomorrow based on what they've done to this point, and to this point they've deserved it. You can't look into the future and try to guess when you're rating.
It's in the playoff committee, I don't think.
But like
the
playoff, right.
If it was the playoff committee, then I could see that. But I'm with you. I think.
But, I mean, just the voting and the pollsters are so inconsistent. I mean, what you're saying is what is what they should do. 100% agree with this. What they should do, but we'll see.
Zach, there are 15 voters that don't even know Jani Broome's hurt. That's how out of touch they are. I'm serious. That, I mean, honestly, some of these guys don't know ball so much. They just look at the scores, who lost in front of them, and that's how they vote. They pronounce his name Johnny. Some of these cats, they don't even know that he's hurt probably. So that's why I think for those cats out in the West that just look at it and go, they won, they lost Auburn. That's why I don't think it's going to make that much of an impact.
That's a great argument. 100%.
I think so too. I think it's a great argument. You changed my mind. I think we're number one tomorrow. So, or Tuesday, whenever it comes out, we'll see.
Chat, what are we tomorrow in the AP poll?
What's Auburn's ranking going to be tomorrow? Or does Duke jump us? We'll see. I want to talk about somebody that I don't feel like we're not excited enough about. And that's the Auburn's newest commitment from Douglas County High School, Devin Carter, who is now the top rated commit for Auburn's 2026 class. I don't know why, but for some reason, I don't feel like we're as excited as we should be over this guy.
Yeah, I don't think mentally, this is me personally, and I think the fan base as well. I don't think we're mentally shifted from portal to the 2026 cycle yet. I don't think it's fully shifted yet. But you're right. Devin Carter is a dog. But this is a dude who will mess you up, who will run past you, and is just not an easy guy to guard. His hair is also awesome. We talked about this with Sam Turner. The context was different because we all felt like Sam Turner deserved to be ranked higher. But this is a dude who's playing against some of the best guys in all of high school football. That Atlanta area where there are DBs and, a bunch of other receivers. I mean, there's just so many talented guys that play high school football in that Atlanta area. And he's just running past all of them. He's torching all of these guys. Yeah, Devin Carter's stuff is very good, very explosive.
I think that the point that you just made about when this happened, guys, if this commitment dropped in August of 2025, there would be so much more excitement and buzz, and people would just be like, "Going, this really slid under the radar on a day that Auburn's best basketball player rolls his ankle." It was just horrible, tragic timing.
Yeah.
For this kid, but I believe that you and I were talking, Kyle, before we hit record. He's ranked higher than Perry Thompson. And then who's the other receiver? I'm drawing a blank. That's already committed in 2026 as well.
Gray.
Yeah, I like the bookends on this, and I like the trend that Auburn went heavy on wide receiver in 2023, did not in 2024, other than Turner and Derek Smith. Correct. Those two are the two they took, and then they're Eric coming. Smith. Yes, and then Eric Smith. And I think that they're going to go back heavy in 2026 and probably get four. This is a very good start of this receiving class. And this kid right now is the highest rated recruit in the 2026 class. So I feel bad for him because the timing of it, I think, is what's terrible. Why Auburn fans aren't more excited about it.
Well, and Auburn fans love Malcolm Simmons, right? I mean, what Malcolm Simmons did in the offense as his role grew over the course of the season, was dynamic. This is his backup. When Malcolm Simmons goes to the NFL, this is the guy filling in for him. I mean, just explosive. You're going to find creative ways to get him the football just because he needs it. He's good enough. He's going to be good enough day one to get the football in his hands.
You're watching.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're watching Ohio State make their run through the national championship, and you see the receivers that they put out there, and how they throw the ball almost every play because they're so loaded with these guys that can just make plays, and you don't even have to throw it so far down the field. Devin Carter seems sort of like a do-it-all guy, and I think y'all nailed it, and I agree with this. I think possibly we're suffering from portal exhaustion. You know, we're still in the portal mindset, and I honestly think we're probably done at portal. And I think we're going to shift our gears to 2026 recruiting right now. But one thing about Devin, I don't want to act like I'm a talent evaluator, like I should be one of the scouts. One thing that I always look at when I watch a kid and I watch his film is how they run. That's one thing what do they look like when they're running? Does it look like they're trying? Does it look like that? Does it just look good? You know what I'm talking about? When you can just see a kid run.
Sometimes it just looks different.
It just looks different. This kid just looks different when he runs. When he runs with the ball, when he runs without the ball, it looks effortless. The way he moves, it does it for me. I think he's going to be good. I think he's the real deal. And I think we should be extremely pumped. Dap mentioned it, the highest rated recruit in our class. If you want to compare it to something, I mean, he's ranked higher than Perry Thompson was. So as excited as you were over getting Perry Thompson, you should be as equally excited over Devin Carter.
Yeah, the difference, though, is like Perry represented something like flipping Bama and all
deeper,
that.
A little deeper.
But as far as purely talent, I think it's a great thing to point out. Somebody asked when he'll be a freshman. He'll be a freshman in the 2026. So if you're a class of whatever, 2026, that is when you become a freshman. One thing, and I just kind of did a discussion on this elsewhere, but after this season, Horatio Fields is out of eligibility. Let's assume Eric Singleton has a good enough year to go pro. I think Eric Singleton has 2 years left. Correct me if I'm wrong, let's assume he's gone. You're then looking at a wide receiver room in 2026, that is Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane, Derek and Eric Smith, Sam Turner, and then these guys, Denarius Gray and Devin Carter, all high school recruited guys. And that's what we've been hoping for. That's what we've been hoping for since Hugh Freeze got here. It's like, okay, all right, we all talked about how you needed to use the portal to bridge to where we wanted to be. But like, guys, that is a room. That is a room of upside and potential and overall talent that they all got from the high school. Layers, they're different types of receivers. They're different ages. They're stacked accordingly. Like, that's the goal. And we're so close. We're so close to having that. We could do that at several different positions if we really wanted to. But, that gets me excited. Gets me very excited.
I think it shows
excited.
You the direction, too, that when we talk about offense and, like, what we want, what Hugh wants out of an offense and what he wants an offense to look like, he really puts an emphasis on receivers. And this is just an example. And I think that's what you're going to see. I think when you can get it going the way he wants to get it going, we're going to be putting the ball in the air a good bit. We're going to be spreading it out. And I think when you have guys like this, it makes that much more exciting. Anything else?
I was going to follow up on that Ohio State model. Both of those things are really the symmetry there. Ohio State's receiving core, if you think about it, and even with Harrison and some of the other guys that came this year and years past, they're not transfers. They're not portal transfer kids. They are building that class. In fact, Jameson Williams left because of that and transferred somewhere else. That core and that group are recruited.
Caleb Burton.
They are recruited. They are recruited rooms that stay together at that core. And that's a really good blueprint to follow.
Yeah, and you keep bringing up Ohio State. Devin Carter and Denarius Gray both have offers from Ohio State.
That tells you a lot.
I'll take that.
This is a really good comment from Mr. Beautiful. Deuce will make them stay.
Wow, Deuce, he's beautiful.
That's one thing. Deuce was close with the 2024 commits. He's obviously really close with the 2025 commits. And then I put a note on the barnauburn.com that, hey, watch out for Devin Carter because he and Deuce are boys. And you notice they were going after each – they're not going after. They were retweeting and you know, talking back and forth a good bit after the commitment on Twitter. You could see that they've been buds. I have no idea what the connection is there from Douglas County all the way to, all the way to Loosedale, Mississippi. But there is a connection there, and I kind of felt like there was – that was one that could blossom and wind up in our favor. So that's two big commitments at receiver. I think there's – like you said, that maybe you go for – look at three or four total, probably four with Sadarian Morgan. C.D. Morgan, I think, is one out of Benjamin Russell that you're going to fight for. And then there's a host of others that you could be looking at. Another bonus with Devin Carter, there's a quarterback at Douglas County that Auburn could be looking at. As far as – I wouldn't say he's one of those top-tier guys, but D.J. Bordeaux. So keep that name in mind. That's his quarterback at his high school. So could that be a package deal down the road if Auburn needs it? It's a plus. It's a plus. I love Georgia kids. That's how Auburn wins. Georgia kids, Alabama kids, Florida kids, pick off a few Mississippi kids. That's how Auburn wins.
I posted this on socials earlier today, but in last year's NFL draft, the state of Georgia had more players drafted per capita than any other state. And so when you're a top 10 player in the state of Georgia, I'll take you. Come on.
Come on with it. Come on.
Also, Thomas Adams let us know that a chairlift is only 7 to 10K. I said it was way more than that. So that's – thank you for that update, Thomas.
You said 40K, didn't you?
I was way off.
That's the cost of a home addition. I mean, that to add onto your house.
I think I would just sleep on the couch.
I feel like we got it quoted from my grandma. And they told us 40K. So maybe they're just ripping us off. We didn't buy it. We're like, no, we'll just carry you up the stairs for that.
I love Zach calling me out going, you've been to my house two or three times. I was like, okay, Zach, thanks for ruining that.
Oh, man, guys, I think that's going to be all for tonight. So right. tell Dap, how can people find you, support you, and love on you?
Locked on Auburn Wednesdays and Fridays with my man Zach, and then we go live after basketball games. And then I do some writing in the barn when things dictate it. And so just check us all out there.
Zach, same for you, bud.
Yeah. Yabo's pointing out you can get an elevator in your house for $40,000. That might be worth it. That might be worth it. Yeah, Locked on Auburn all of the days. And, of course, thebarnauburn.com. Sign up right now.
Yeah, definitely go sign up for thebarnauburn.com. Guys, if you like the video, like it. If you like the channel, subscribe to it. We'll be back again every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.